Wake up, wake up. It's a Friday. It is baseball daytime, opening day for the Gyros. That's right, a little civic holiday out at Third and King. We got a lot of interesting Niners stuff to talk about. They're getting closer to the draft, and there's some very interesting stuff starting to percolate. Let's go.
Larry, I tell you, the way that these baseball teams talk about, well, it's opening day. Now it's another opening day. Then it's another opening day. No. It's not like you're not like a freshman in college, some girl pledging a sorority where it's your birthday month. The Giants had one opening day. They laid down and died on Netflix to the New York Yankees. Good luck picking up from there. I understand that baseball should never open in prime time. It should always be a day game. It's not my fault. You took the money to sell your souls to Netflix. Come on.
Well, I mean, there's multiple topics there we could get to. We won't. But yeah, Netflix. Netflix is a very successful company. They're very, very bright. They'll figure it out. But if I had to listen to L whatever, call it a home base one more time, I was going to fucking lose it. You got to be kidding me. You're drawing a six figure, probably a seven figure income from Netflix to be the baseball person, and you're calling it home base. Oh my God.
Home base. Well, welcome everyone to our home base. He is Larry. I'm Damon. This is Wake Up. It is great to have you here. Hit like and subscribe. Beyond that, hit that notify bell. And whenever we go live, you will know that we are going live. And going live is something that's going to be happening more and more often the closer we get to the draft. I know we've got a couple of juicy, ain't never going to happen rumors to talk about. What do we got? I saw the first comment of the day was from Bruster Bratmus, who says, I want trade news, signing proven star news, not mock draft crud. Well,
we don't give a fuck what you want. You know, well, I don't give a fuck what you want. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter what you want.
Re-signed Jerry Rice. There you go. There's no one more proven than him. Again, we can't just make stuff up. Yeah, so I mean, what we're doing is sort of walking around the car lot. We're doing some shopping. It's not the day we're going to buy the car, but we're walking around all these cars and thinking, all right, so I'm not just interested in one car. I want a fleet of cars. How do I make sure all these cars complement each other? And I know that we're going to start here, Larry, talking about the dream draft that the 49ers could have. I've got my six picks in this draft. Of course, we've cheated a little. I'm going to need to talk about more than just six players here because there's so much fluctuating. But we've got we got players to draft. And the 49ers have huge, huge decisions in front of them, and that's where we thought we would start today's show. We will, of course, get to start times in Australia. That news came out today. We will talk about Myles Garrett rumors. Oh, my God. Sports talk radio never had it so good. But Larry, let's hop right in to
Let's thank our sponsors right out of the chute, since we always forget to do that. But thanks to Pig and a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. Also, thank you to Novato Chevrolet, family-owned dealership for over 50 years, friendly staff to meet all of your expectations, huge selection, great prices, excellent customer service. When I buy a Chevrolet, I only go to Novato Chevrolet. Thank you to Habas Law tomorrow at the San Jose Animal Care Center in the South Bay from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Habas Law is covering the adoption fees for every dog, every cat, every bunny, every iguana, every chance at a new life. Come meet your new best friend. Walk in with a generous heart. Leave with a family. Thank you to Omar Tark and the entire Habas Law firm family. That's San Jose Animal Care Center tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the South Bay. Free. Thank you, Habas Law. And also thank you to Alomar Marina, voted Sacramento's best lunch spot. AlomarMarina.net. They're open Wednesday through Sunday, 5999 Garden Highway. Float while you dine. And thanks to them for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show.
Only because it would seem way out of context if we do it much later on. Let's just get this super up here right now from Buster saying, I can appreciate Larry telling me to F off. There you go. Thank you. You're that's why you're our kind of guy. That's why you're back here each and every week, Buster. Thank you very, very
personal.
Much.
It's not personal.
He understands. Everyone understands. Hey, it's probably a slow morning for my man Ike. Yesterday was his 48th birthday, so happy birthday to him. And he had a great sandwich special yesterday. Buy one, get the second sandwich for $4.80. Hopefully you took advantage of that, but get yourself to Ike's for one of the greatest sandwiches that is being served anywhere. And thank you so much to him for supporting and sponsoring. And thanks to all of you as well for doing the exact same thing by being here, watching, liking, subscribing, and all that good stuff.
Am I supposed to understand why $4.80? I'm trying to think. $4.80. Why is it? Is there any significance of $4.80?
He turned 48.
There you
48.
Go.
48. So you get it?
Number. I missed the number. I was moving my earphone around. I missed the number. Happy 48th to the great Ike, who is he is a monster. He a absolute monster. Saw him at the Radio Row. Great man. And a terrific supporter of Damon's channel through a number of years. Let's get right into it. 49er draft dream scenarios. Why don't you, I'll go first or you can go first. Either way.
Go right ahead. I'm gonna let you, good okay. Larry Krueger, kick things off with the 27th pick of the first. No, so let me ask you.
I'm not saying 27th pick. I'm just saying this is a great pick and a great player and a guy that I've centered on. And you know, Damon, you know, guys like me, it's like I have a lot of courage in my own convictions. It's like if I like a player, I don't need anybody else to like that player to also, you know, like him. You know, it's like, but I'm like everybody else. It makes me feel good when people that I really respect really like my opinions. You know what I mean? Have you ever had an opinion and then had somebody that you really respect, you hear your opinion and go, oh yeah, I totally agree with you. Yeah, it makes you feel nice. It makes you feel good.
Has anyone gotten a Monroe Freeling before me? Anybody? Anybody out there?
Yes, there's this guy Field Yates who was all over him in the middle of the year. But yeah, you love Monroe Freeling. Okay, so here's a guy. You know how much I love Greg Cosell.
I do.
Greg Cosell guy.
So Greg Cosell loves us, by the way. He says he watches the show. I talked to him during the Super Bowl. He watches Wake Up. He likes us. He thinks we're no nonsense. He doesn't think we're house organs. He likes the way we agree with each other and argue with each other. So Greg, if you're watching right now, thank you very, very much.
Well, here's the guy, and I stumbled on this just a minutes before the show. My guy, Greg Cosell, on the Ross Tucker podcast, talking about a player that I really love. Here it is.
But there's a receiver whose tape I really, really like. And it's funny, I texted with a good friend of mine after I watched this guy, and I said to him, and I texted him and said, why is this guy not as good as Jordan Tyson? And that receiver is Ted Hurst from Georgia State. I really like this kid on tape. Now, obviously, played at Georgia State. It's not a Power Four school. They were terrible this season. I think he's one of the most intriguing wide receiver prospects in this class. Size, speed, stride length, that's his profile. Obviously, there'll be questions about the level of competition, but you're talking about a long, dynamic receiver. He was a weapon at all three levels of the defense. Look, what I always say about players like this, if he showed the same traits profile with this kind of production in a Power Four conference, Ross, we'd be talking about him as a first-round pick without question. I thought he worked the middle of the field at the short intermediate levels. He caught a ton of dig routes, had a few too many drops that needs to be cleaned up, but he also had plays where he caught the ball very easily on the move, seamlessly transitioning to run after catch. This guy to me has the size and length and traits profile to develop into a boundary X at the next level. I was fascinated by Ted Hurst from Georgia State.
Yeah, me too, Greg.
It's almost like you want to tell him, hey, Greg, shut up, because now you're going to tell another team to draft him, and he's not going to be sitting there for one of the four compensatory picks. So be quiet, Greg.
Well, he's not going to be there for the compensatory picks. But Ted Hurst, you know, Ted Hurst, Damon, the most important word in this kid's scouting report is state. Because if you took off state and just said, this kid, Ted Hurst from Georgia, he'd be going in the 20s. he might be considered for the Niners at 27. But because he went to Georgia State at the FCS level, he's going to go probably late second round, early third round. And if I'm the 49ers, I think my plan, well, you know, we're going to talk about our dream scenarios and prospects and that kind of thing. To me, I think the 49ers are going to do something in the first round that's not wide receiver. And then I think in the second round, that wide receiver potentially could be there. Or if they traded back into the third round, that wide receiver selection could be that pick. And I think Chris Bell, as Tony Pauline said from Louisville, is probably their first choice. My guess is they're going to go D-line in the first round or defense in the first round, and then they're going to come back in the second round with a receiver, and I think it's most likely going to be Chris Bell from Louisville. But if Chris Bell is gone, and there's a chance that he will be because the Niners don't pick until 58, I believe, in that second round, I think this would be the fallback option for me. Ted Hurst, Georgia State, 6'4", as Greg just, you know, said very, very succinctly, he's a very good boundary X, big-bodied wide receiver. I like him more than some of the other receivers, like Denzel Boston played at Washington. A lot of people are talking about Denzel Boston to the Niners at 27. Yeah, in the first round. I like this guy more than Denzel Boston. He's got the same type body type, except there's actual separation there where Boston's really doesn't get that separation. And I think the 40 times kind of questionable.
Let me ask you this. Who would really be more interesting?
Player. And this guy had opportunities, by the way. I looked into this player earlier this month. Ted Hurst had opportunities this year to leave Georgia State and to go to a Power Five. And he said, you know what? I'm going to be loyal to Georgia State. They gave me a shot when nobody else did.
I like appreciate that. I do. And I like that about a player. I really do. It is odd that a player with his talent, his side, and his ability would stay at a smaller conference, especially in the NIL era where you can go make real money on another campus. And I don't know if Georgia State was dapping him out or not. Probably not the way that they would have at other schools, just in his region, much less, you know, just in his city, for goodness sakes. But I appreciate the loyalty. I really do. Would you be more interested in Ted Hurst with a second round pick or Elijah Surratt?
I think Ted Hurst is a better player. I mean, I like Elijah Surratt. There's a lot of good things to like there, but I think Elijah
Hurst is a bigger guy, period.
Faster.
Yeah.
I think he's faster too. And he's got a little bit more separation. Now, Surratt is a tremendous player too. I really like the Indiana receivers. They were coached well. They block. They run their routes. I think Surratt would be a very good pick for the Niners, you know, too, because he will hit his benchmarks. Like, he will be where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. Same with Omar Cooper, and they will block willingly. But Ted Hurst, I think, is on a different level. I think Ted Hurst could be, you know, a great receiver, you know, a Pro Bowl, a difference-making receiver. Man, it's weird. I mean, like, Jerry Rice was an FCS receiver, and, you know, we all know that Jerry's the greatest of all time.
Right.
But look, because he was an FCS receiver, he went 16th. And if he had been a Big Ten or a ACC or an SEC or Pac-12 receiver, Pac-10 back then, he would have gone in the first round, in the first half of the first round. Instead, he went in the middle of the first round because he went to Mississippi Valley State. So I kind of feel the same way about Hurst.
You know, not everyone has great talent in them, but great talent can come from anywhere. It really can. So very interesting. Again, now that when Cosell is on to a player and prospect, it makes me that much more interested in him, yeah, without a doubt. So yeah. I'm going
and
he, to
And Greg, out. By the way, has not to interrupt, but Greg has a great eye for this. He really does. I mean, I know Greg watches film for scheme and for to talk to guys like you and I about our teams around the NFL, and he's a media guy and he has the matchup show, but he's really got a great eye for personnel because he isolates just the tape.
Yeah, that's what he does. He doesn't bring in bias. He doesn't bring in outside opinion. He formulates it himself based on what he sees and what the player produces. So it's, you know, everyone brings a bias to their evaluation, but Cosell excels at being an unbiased evaluator.
He's really good at it. I mean, some people have a good eye for it. Yeah. This guy does. And
49ers should bring him in. They should hire Greg Cosell.
You know, I mean, Greg's a capitalist, you know, Greg's a capitalist. If I were an NFL team, I would absolutely. I mean, look at it this way. If your scouts, let's just say, and your general manager and your personnel department, let's say, is the first front line, right? They're the first line of defense or offense, whatever, when you're trying to put together your draft plan. But then your medical people are involved now, and your assistant coaches are involved, and your analytics people are involved. So are they involved on the same level? Well, maybe not there, but they're involved. And then you have other people involved, and there's guys that teams pay a number of different players as consultants. I just read something yesterday that there was some significant name person in football. And I looked up where they were, and I found out they were like a consultant for a major college program. So, I mean, there's all kinds of football people out there who are getting paid for their opinion. Greg Cosell's got a great opinion. I would absolutely pay Greg Cosell six figures to say, hey, Greg, take an extra 2 hours a day for the next month and analyze film and report back to me what you think. And give me your best analysis, and I'll throw you six figures. I mean, I think it would be worth it. I really do. I mean, we're talking about teams spend $100,000 on, you know, nothing, napkins and just stuff. You know, I mean, this would actually help you get better. So I love it. All right. So there's my guy. I'm going Ted Hurst to start as just a dream scenario. He appears to them in round two. And if Chris Bell's gone, and he may be, Ted Hurst is the pick, and it could turn into Niner lore. It could turn into one of those things where, how about this? The Niners wanted this guy, Chris Bell, you know, but they took Ted Hurst, and Ted Hurst became a superstar in the NFL. So that's my hope.
You know, in terms of wishful thinking, Larry, I love your wishful thinking. I think the more likely scenario is that Ted Hurst would be the guy that the 49ers drafted, and he didn't have a target until week six, and he didn't have a catch until week 11 because Kyle Shanahan absolutely hates his rookie wide receivers, period, end of story. Now, if you're telling me they draft the right one and he finally plays them, I'm going to tell you, you know, there's long odds on that. Because you know that he's already, the minute any wide receiver is drafted to this team, congratulations, you got to beat out the five guys in front of you. And there is zero doubt that Shanahan has a pecking order, and getting your name into that pecking order is going to be really hard. Mike Evans is going to play every down he can while he's healthy. Christian Kirk ain't going anywhere. They're going to try to wring every drop of production out of Ricky Pearsall they can get this year. DeMarcus Robinson isn't coming off the field for Ted Hurst. So, you know, will you play him? Will you play him, Kyle? I think has to be part and parcel of any wide receiver draft pick in any round.
You know, I don't buy that.
Jordan? Look how excited. How many videos did you do about how Jordan Watkins was going to be a difference maker? Jordan Watkins was
He's a fourth round pick. Here's Debo's football card. Here's his rookie year. He played 15 games. He started 11. They targeted him 81 times. He had 57 receptions, 3 touchdowns. So I don't think it's Kyle won't play a rookie receiver. I mean, I could go bust out Ayuk's numbers too, and they probably look pretty good. It's just that we our expectations, first of all, four receivers
Debo wasn't behind Mike Evans on that team.
Okay, but go to Ayuk. I mean, go to Kendrick Bourne. I mean, there's other guys that have produced under Kyle Shanahan.
Hey, I want to be wrong. Players. I would.
It's not about that. It's anecdotal is what it is. It's just too small of a sample size. And so people are pointing to things that don't really exist. I personally think that Kyle Shanahan is all about winning. And you're telling me that if he had a receiver that he could win with, that he wouldn't play him? I don't agree.
I think he would, but he can't either identify him, find him, coach him up, get him, train him. And there's a massive disconnect.
Yeah, you're right.
Massive disconnect.
Jalen Hurd. I mean, we can go right down the list. DeAndre Smelter and all kinds of, you know, donkeys. AJ Jenkins, different regimes, of course.
But I had a I did this a little bit more traditionally. I put the picks in front of me. I sort of used reverse drafting. I started with the last pick of the fourth round and worked my way up here as far as what I think the dream draft would be for the 49ers. More than anything else, more than any other topic, more than any other draft need, there is nothing hanging over the 49ers right now quite like the Trent Williams situation. Whether that gets figured out, how that gets figured out, goes part and parcel into what I think they do at number one overall. If nothing else, Larry, hopefully you'll appreciate my consistency. Now, I do think that Caden Proctor is gone. I think Freeling is gone. I think Lomu is gone. I do think it is time, though, especially if Trent is not here, if Trent is traded or moved on from or cut or just he ain't here, with the first pick at 27, Max Iheanacher, I think, is now the pick for the 49ers. I want the best tackle on the board. I am nothing if I'm not consistent. I think that this team needs to address its offensive line problem. They need to admit that they have a bigger offensive line problem than they're willing to admit. And if Trent Williams isn't back, congratulations. You now have a left tackle problem. The only position that really wasn't a problem on this offensive line. Now, if Trent is back, I'm a big believer in following trends. I'm a big believer in, well, what you've done in the past will probably indicate what you do in the future. And if Trent is on this team, I'll tell you that you don't now need this tackle. You still do. I mean, here's the thing. If they bring Trent back and take Max Iheanacher, I wouldn't mind that either. You know,
I
would not mind that either. But if Trent is back, I'm going to lean into something that is a clear need and a player that I think is almost consensus liked by everyone who covers this team, including the team itself. And that's Cassius Howell, the edge out of Texas A&M. I'm going to overlook those short arms and just tell you that his entire game is built on speed. I look at him as sort of a counterweight to what D Ford was to Nick Bosa. I think that you can absolutely play this guy. And he would be instantly impactful just in terms of speed. Cassius Howell at 27 in the first round. I'm not worried about his floor. I don't know where his ceiling goes. I think he's an NFL player day one. I think he's a day one NFL player.
Who's that? Howell? Like
Cassius Howell from Texas A&M.
I mean, he's the SEC DPOY, right? He's the defensive player of the year in the SEC.
The first thing you read is the short arms. Like, his arms are so short.
Yeah, he does have short arms. And there are, you know, real stats that show that 30-inch arm, 30, you know, so I think the stat is sub 32-inch arm rushers don't do anything in the NFL. But I will say this, just watching Cassius Howell, I mean, he's got an ability to flatten to the quarterback better than anybody I've seen since Von Miller. He can flatten to the quarterback. So the flatten part is when you dip the shoulder and you get to the edge. Some guys run a big old loop. Some guys run a kind of a tighter loop. Some guys literally have this ankle flexibility where they can put their foot in the ground and just take a sharp left turn and just
bend, like, Larry. How's your bend?
But then it's just like foot in the ground, and then it's like two explosive steps and you're hurling yourself at the quarterback. And that's what Howell has. He's very rare. He's very special. That's a good one. I want to focus though on Iheanacher, because, you know, the 49ers, I think the Niners need a tackle. They haven't gone first round in a long time. They're going to need a tackle. If they trade Trent Williams and don't get a tackle coming back, they're going to need a tackle if they, you know, keep Trent Williams long term, but they may not need it in this draft. But looking at the board this year, Francis Malinoa is going to go really high. Spencer Finneau is going to go really high. Your guy Freeling is going to go really high. Lomu, I think, is going to wind up going in the top 25.
I think there's four tackles in the first 15 picks, Larry.
Well, I'll say top 25. I don't know if top 15, but I think your top three are definitely in the top 15. I think Lomu probably goes between 15 and 25. Then everybody loves Caden Proctor, but I've watched film on all these guys, And the film on Max Iheanacher is quite a bit better than Caden Proctor.
The thing is, Caden Proctor just had a great pro day at Alabama. I think right. Apparently he was the star of the dance at Alabama's pro day.
He's a big kid who can move for sure. But Iheanacher's film's better. Now Proctor's played, he's played more on the left side. Iheanacher and Blake Miller, the two guys that the Niners should be staring at. So the Niners will not be getting the first guy, the second guy, the third guy, the fourth guy. Now they may get Caden Proctor, but does he fit their system? I don't think he does. I don't think he's as good as Iheanacher. Blake Miller, I think, has better film than all three, but he's strictly a right tackle, and you could be drafting at 27, kind of Mike McGlinchey 2.0. Then there's the Northwestern kid, Caleb Tiernan, who I think's firmly a second-round, third-round pick, and he could be their pick if they waited that long, but there's some stiffness there. And now you quickly, the whole thing falls apart, right? Like the entire tackle market, there's a couple guys.
Larry, you just mute yourself. Your mic just sort of faded out.
I had a commercial popped up in one of the pop-ups I had, and I couldn't figure out which one it was.
Oh, there you go. You're back.
Yeah, I'm back now. So anyway, my point is just that the tackle position is probably either has to be attacked in trade or in with that first pick. I do like some of these later picks, and I'm just going to name a few because to me, the Niners have to me, Damon, it's a real interesting draft. The Niners have two picks in the top 58. Then they have four picks in like a 10-pick span in the fourth round. And then they have no picks until after the draft. So really, you could argue that they have a very easy, pool. They should probably study the top 100. And then they should probably, have a pretty good idea of who's going to be in the fourth round. And then after that, it's undrafted, guys. So you got three bites of the apple. In that fourth round, to me, there are a couple tackles that might be there. Jalen Farmer, Kentucky. Austin Barber, Florida. Isaiah World tore his ACL for Oregon, so he may fall. J.C. Davis from the Illini, who went to McClymans, may fall. Crownover from A&M may fall. Dieter really likes Keegan Trost as a run blocker. He's considered maybe the best run-blocking tackle. He's going to be there in the fourth round. Emil Wagner is going to be there in the fourth round. So there's some interesting players right there that they could potentially take in the fourth round, but those are major rolls of the dice and major projections. So I kind of think that even though the Niners' stated position is they don't draft offensive linemen, we're going to talk a little bit about this Myles Garrett rumor, but if Trent Williams is traded, I would draft Max Iheanacher. I know he played right tackle at ASU. I know he did not play high school football. This guy did not play football, Damon, until junior college. So you know that there's a lot that goes with that. There's a rawness level to his game that Chris Foerster is going to have to really polish. But if we really think that Foerster is this great coach, and we keep hailing him as a great O-line coach, then how do you not draft Max Iheanacher? He's easily one of the greatest prospects. If Iheanacher had played for Michigan and played high school football and had a little bit more of a regular resume, I think he's for sure going in the top 15. And instead, he's going to be there probably when the Niners pick, just simply because he's late to football, kind of raw, played at ASU.
Right. There's no doubt. He's more of a project than the other guys on day one. But where his ceiling goes might be higher than all the other guys who get drafted in front of him beyond Monroe Freeling, who I think is going to be a Hall of Fame player. No, I'm just kidding.
Post the 38 best grade on zone blocking runs among tackles his final year at ASU. So what's the Niners scheme? They are an outside zone run team that uses other run type plays. They're not strictly outside zone, or they run some inside zone, they run some gaps, some duo, but he posted the nation's 38th best grade of any offensive lineman on zone blocking run plays among tackles in college. So This guy blocked for Cam Scataboo and did a really nice job.
He is the size of a mountain. He moves at the speed of a mountain lion. I mean, they just you don't get humans this big, this quick often, even in the NFL. So there is an awful lot to work with there. He's Nigerian born. He's just a mountain of a dude. He really is. So
big ball of clay. And if you really believe in Chris Foerster, how do you not give Foerster INH here? 6'6", 330. I swear to you, when you're watching this guy, it screams out 280 pounds. And yet he's 330. He's 50 pounds. He moves. I mean, Matt Barrow said it. He moves like a man who's about 100 pounds lighter than he is.
He's something special. I really do. I think he's a special player. If he's there at 27, it's going to be hard not to take him. But again, Cassius Howell, in spite of that arm length, he's just a burner. I mean, he is speed on speed on a defensive line. And, you know, you want to deal with your Sam Darnold bootlegs? He's a great way to do that. I like Cassius Howell an awful lot too. If they come away with either INH or Howell, I don't think you're gonna find any complaints out of me after that first pick. Second round pick, 58. And again, this is where things get complicated, because what you do here is now, you know, you're gonna be playing the can I thread the needle at another position with my compensatory picks and the four fourth rounders that I have, because you don't have a third rounder as it stands right now.
Right.
So the player that you take here better damn well be a player that you take, because you're not gonna get another bite at the apple for a while. And I've got three names, Larry, that I'd be very, very comfortable with going at 58.
Okay.
Tre'Davious Stoops. Cornerback, safety, hybrid, kid from Arizona. I like him an awful lot. I kind of found him while I was doing my sort of secondary deep dive, the dive that brought me to Bud Clark, who I also really like. If Clark is there at 58, how do you pass on that guy? How would you pass on Jeremiah Trotter if he's sitting there at 58? All of these guys are worthy to be drafted in the top 40. And if you get them closer to 60, I just think it's going to be hard to pass on. Who is on the board at 58? Tre'Davious Stoops, Bud Clark, both secondary players, or Josiah Trotter, the linebacker from Mizzou? You come away, we're talking about the dream draft. You come away with either one of those three names in the second round, I think you had yourself a good draft.
Okay, those are good names. I'm going to go with a fourth round option on the offensive line. I really think there's a very good chance that the Niners.
Are you working backwards to forwards and I'm working down to, and we're going to meet in the middle?
I don't think the Niners are going for a tackle. I think they're going for a guard. I don't know. I don't think they'll trade Trent Williams. I think they'll resign him. And so I think the need is more at guard. And then I also think they've got other needs up front. I think they're going to go defensive. My guess is they're going to go defensive front in the first round. They're going to go wide receiver in the second round.
Right.
And then in the fourth round, they're going to have to.
Because of the trade with Dallas.
What's that?
I think they're looking edge first round probably more than anywhere else.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be edge because, you know, John Lynch said defensive front. So I think Kristen Miller, it might be a guy they really like. He played at Georgia. He's 6'4", 320. He's buddies with Mikel. He works really hard. He's got a lot of the things that they like, Damon, in that they love their defensive linemen that can move. This guy can move for sure, but he's a horse. They also love their guys who are their defensive linemen who are great athletes, but also are good guys. They don't want bad guys. And this guy has a high character to him. So I think there's a very good chance Kristen Miller could be their guy or Cassius Howell. I mean, if I had to wager, I'd probably wager Cassius Howell, but I think Kristen Miller could be their guy. And then in round two, I think it's Bell, the receiver from Louisville, as Tony Pauline said. He said in round one, but I think it'll be round two. And if it's not, I think it could be Jeremy Bernard, but it could be Ted Hurst. But eventually they're going to get to the fourth round, and they're still going to have that offensive line need, and there's going to be a lot of people bitching about where's the offensive lineman. And So there's going to be a little pressure once we approach the fourth round to find that offensive lineman. And I think I have found him for the 49ers.
Are you going with the center?
I'm going to go with, first of all, there's some great stats here. Thabechi Wiwu is his name. 230 pass blocking snaps. He allowed two pressures all year. He had an 89 pass block grade. Here he is right here. This is a list of the lowest allowed pressure rate on true dropback sets. As you see, he's number one, 0.6%. Then you go up here. That's another one. Here you go. Fewest quick pressures allowed. He did not allow a single quick pressure all year. Not one, zero, leads the nation. Then you go to this little measurable. By
the way, what's the difference between a pressure and a quick pressure?
Quick pressures, you just get beat out of your stance. Pressure means eventually they make their way to the quarterback. pass blocking, PFF gave him the top pass blocking grade among interior offensive linemen, which is really great. Here he is, zero sacks allowed. He played 481 pass blocking snaps. He allowed zero sacks. That is the most pass blocking snaps without allowing a sack in the country this year. And there's some other good names here. Kobe Baines, Micah Morris, Keelan Rutledge, all good players. But look who's up top, Thabechi Wiwu. And then here he is, lowest pressure rate allowed among NFL draftable guards. There he is, a Wiwu, 0.42%. Now there's Micah Morris, there's Pregnon, there's Awane, there's Bo Stevens, there's some other good players there, but he's at the top of the list. Here's his combine workout, but I want to show you this film. This is just a highlight reel of a Wiwu. This guy won the award for the most, he won like the Len Eshman Award for the Oklahoma Sooners program. So he's like the most inspirational. Here he is at right guard, number 54. He's 6'4", 320 pounds. He's got 34-inch arms. So he's got some of the longest arms in the entire class. And he's the best pass blocker, but if you watch him as a run blocker, he's pretty devastating. Here he is, the walling off in the run game and climbing to the second level, picking off a linebacker. Now he's moving a little bit, kicking out. Now he's taking on the guy in front of him. Look at the wide base. Look at the strength, the long arms. To me, he could extend the arms even more and take advantage of the fact that he's got nearly 35-inch arms. His arm length is among the top in college football as for guards. But then just when you, I saw the guy
shit out of that rep.
I saw the interviews that he's done. He's considered like a real leader. He's kind of violent. What I love the most about him, Damon, is I think you could draft him right now, plug him in at left guard to start, or possibly move Pooney from one side to the other side, where he has some experience as well, and then move Wiwu to right guard. But I really think if you get this guy in camp next year, he might not be. I think you could get him to play guard, but this guy at the East-West Shrine practices, the center went out, and so this guy played center at the East-West Shrine practices, and he looked great. And I think this is your center. This guy's, Brendel's 285. This guy's 320. Brendel's got 30-inch arms, 31-inch arms, whatever it is. This guy's got 34.5-inch arms. So I love this guy. I think he's a real steal in the draft. And as I said, he won Oklahoma's most prestigious award. So he's a great guy. He's got a wide base. He's got great intangibles, but great measurables. And I love the arm length on offensive linemen. It matters. I also love the arm length on this guy because think about it, Damon. If you're going to have a backup offensive lineman like Thabechi Wiwu would be for the Niners, you want a backup offensive lineman. You only have so many guys up on game day, so you have to have guys who can play all the spots. Well, we saw this guy play center at the East-West game. He was awesome. He can play right guard or left guard. So you got the three interior spots covered, but then the 34.5-inch arms means that he could probably play right tackle in a pinch because he's got absurd long arm length. So I really like this player. I think that if you bring him to camp, it will just be a matter of weeks before he takes Brendel's job. And I think this could be the difference maker in the run game for the 49ers. So there you go.
Well, you and we think a little bit alike in just in terms of fourth round. So I'm talking about 127. It's your first pick of the fourth round.
Okay.
And I'm sure the entire chat's about to say, Damon, he's gone. Forget it. There's no way if he's not Jake Slaughter, the center from Florida. If he is there at 127, I think that's it. He is the type of center that is perfect for the Shanahan scheme. He's 6'5". He's whip smart. He was a captain. He has all that SEC pedigree. He's an elite pass blocker. He, you know, sounds like the right guy to take over for Jake Brendel and protect Brock Purdy. And you want to talk versatility, even though, again, he played center exclusively in college. If you play center, you can play either guard. If you play either guard, that doesn't mean you can play center.
He's a smart kid too. He went to Trinity Catholic in the Florida area. Smart kid, all SEC first team this year, finalist for the Remington Trophy. Already earned his bachelor's degree. You know, 4-time SEC fall academic honor roll. SEC first year academic honor roll.
He's probably a third round pick, Larry. He's probably gone by the time the Niners are sitting there at the end of the fourth round. But if he is gone, let me give you your other option at center. Yager Burton,
Kentucky,
the center for Kentucky. And again, SEC reps all on his body. Kentucky's actually cranked out a few good offensive linemen over the last few years. And I just think he's a guy who's played for 4 years. He's got a ton of college snaps on him. He is not a project. Maybe a reach in the fourth, but I think improving at center is a very important thing for the 49ers. Now, when I look at them, so they pick at 127, then they come back at 133. Here's a player that you and I haven't talked about at all.
Go ahead.
Tight end Marlon Klein from Michigan.
I was just talking about him last night.
You're kidding.
No, his name came up on the last couple of days on a couple streams.
Haven't talked about him at all. I think this is a mover of people. He is not much of a catcher. But Michigan doesn't spread it around quite the way. Michigan doesn't spread it around the way at all, really. Michigan doesn't want to throw the ball more than 22 times in a football game. Marlon Klein, he's a 6'6", 250-pound guy, 24 catches last year and a touchdown. He's a target, but he's a mover of people. I think he would be the perfect other tight end complement to Jake Tongas. And when you're talking about you're getting older and a guy like George Kittle's probably got his best football in his rearview mirror coming off a torn Achilles, I don't think that that's a bad investment. He's explosive. He's good in short yardage. I think he's a little bit of a target. I like
him. He's had great success at that position. I mean, look, Colston Loveland. How about the guy in Seattle? I mean, I'm a believer in programs producing players. This kid's from Germany, by the way, and he is. He's 6'6". He's 250. He's really, really smart. He was voted captain by his teammates. So that always, Damon, those guys are the guys that that always get your attention. And there's a lot to love here. I think you've centered on a great one here. Voted captain by his teammates, all Big Ten. Named the team's most improved player on offense last year, 3-time academic All Big Ten, 4-time letter winner. He's very experienced, 36 collegiate games, 12 starts at tight end. Yeah, he's a really good football player. And the fact that he doesn't have a typical background makes him kind of interesting as well, that he came from Germany. He's the son of Marco Albers and Melanie Klein. So he went to go to school at Georgia ahead of his junior year. He played for the Cologne Crocodiles in Germany. So, this guy's way talented.
That's a great report for Tom Sula. Tom Sula knew that, he was the Rhine Fire. Maybe he's got some German football connections you can tap into.
I like that one. That's a good one. Let me give you one that I really like in the fourth round. I like Torion York. He's a small linebacker for Texas A&M. This guy walked into A&M and was instantly like day one starter, day one leader. He's 5'11", 230 pounds. So he's small, right? He's kind of along the lines of a Nick Martin, but man, he can absolutely
play. You're getting him in the fourth round, right?
I mean, that's where we are. Right. And this guy ran 4.5 at the pro day. Here he is. Coming right at you.
Running right near laptop.
This is a very good time for a player like Torion York because he is an incredible football player.
No jiggle on that run, Larry. That guy's got painted on skin.
Yeah, I mean, there's no fat. He's not big, 5'11", 232. He's a self-made player, but this guy shows up. And, you know, the linebacker spot, it's all about instincts. If you have good instincts, you're closer to the play if you're fast. If you have bad instincts, you're further away. This guy flows to the action all the time. He's really, really good. And in the fourth round, I think that's a great, great
pick. I like him, Larry, but I'm going to do you one better in the fourth round. And we're going to my alma mater to find him. With all of the Indiana players that we've talked about, I don't think we've talked about Aiden Fisher very much. This is a guy who was one of the James Madison boys who came to IU with Cignetti. Total winner. Total stud, over 200 tackles and 5.5 sacks in his 2 years in Bloomington. He also had 2 interceptions in his senior season. Absolute defensive leader. To think that the Indiana Hoosiers were that good defensively all season long, he's a big reason why. This guy cleaned up anything that came at him after they got past the defensive line. He is just, he's all over the football field. Aiden Fisher, a linebacker, I think is there at 139. I think he's certainly, I think he's there. Maybe he's a fifth round guy. He might be a sixth round guy, but I like Aiden Fisher an awful lot. And, you know, since we're talking about these 4 fourth rounders, here's one that I know you and I are about to agree on. Kaleon Black, man. He is built. He is built to be Christian McCaffrey's touchdown vulture. If the 49ers draft him, Christian McCaffrey scoring fewer touchdowns last year because this guy is your short yardage, your goal line back. He is explosive. He's not just powerful. He's explosive, and Shanahan's going to love this, never fumbles. He does not fumble the ball. Over 1,000 yards last year. He was the dependable guy that Cignetti went to over and over and over again and got to have it. Goal line moments and yardage. This is an NFL running back for sure.
Yeah, that's my guy for sure. I love him. He, you know, fourth round would be, I think, where he's going to go, I think he'd go in maybe even later, but I would take him in the fourth round with one of those fourth round picks.
Again, you don't have
he's
picks
a
later.
Gutty player. He's not going
undrafted, Larry.
Oh, no, he's not going to go undrafted, but I think he's a day three guy for sure. And I think he's probably a fifth round guy. But if I could trade one of those fourths back a little bit, get a couple extra picks, I would take him. I love him. He moves the pile. He runs with strength. He runs with balance. He's a culture player. Now, part of my theme, if John Lynch said, Krug, give me, you know, you're all over the draft. Give me a couple quick thoughts. I would say, John, don't ignore the story that's right in front of your face, which is that Indiana won the national championship. And they won the national championship not because Cignetti's magic, because Cignetti recruited well and he brought a lot of really good players. You win in sports, not with magic. You win in sports with good coaches coaching good players. Damon, you've named a couple guys and I love them. Okay. But there's two guys that I need to name here that I know you're going to love, but I'm going to throw them out here anyway. To me, this might be the safest play that the Niners could go. There's a lot of talk that Ty Simpson is going to be on the board when the Niners pick. A lot of talk that Arizona may want to trade up for Ty Simpson, or maybe the Jets, and they want that extra fifth year on the quarterback contract that you get if you take him in the first round. So the Niners may have an option to move down from 27 to like 31, 32, 33, 34.
Wouldn't be a bad idea. Would not be a bad idea.
So that might be the idea I would have. And then I would follow it up with this guy. This is D'Angelo Pons. And, you know, to me, you know, you're talking about a very special player here. Now, I know he's 5'8", but so's Upton Stout. Do you like Upton Stout? Yes, you love Upton Stout. This guy's better than Upton Stout. Well, this is a 5'8 corner who's better than Upton Stout.
He's a 5'8 corner who plays better than any 6-foot corner you saw last year.
He is a great player. And he's not a good player. He's not a very good player. He's a great player. And not only that, he's a safe player at a really, really, really tough position to locate. So I love the idea of trading back and either taking D'Angelo Pons or Keontae Scott. Keontae Scott is one of the best college football players. And then when we finally got the workout for the Miami Pro Day, he ran 4.25, and the guy had a 43-inch vertical, and he's an amazing football player. Like, he's kind of reminds me of Brian Branch. And guess what? You need a Brian Branch. The Niners need a great football player. Fucking Keontae Scott is a great effing football player. So, and D'Angelo Pons is 5'8". He is a great freaking player. So no more, you know what? We went for this position. We needed it. No more, you know, this and that. He was the guy. Go get a great player that falls to you. And if you look at the way the board falls, the corners of value, like Scott and Pons, star corners, are going to fall to the 49ers at 27. The question is, will they pick one of them? And so those two guys, I'm all about. I'm all about those two guys. But I got one more.
Give me one more, and then we're going to talk. We're going to talk about Myles Garrett after this.
Let's see if I can find this. Damn it. Let me get rid of a couple of these screens. But my one last guy.
Too many tabs, Kruger over here.
Yeah, too many tabs. And now I don't see the guy that I wanted to. I had one saved here for you. And I don't see it. But well, here it is. It's Pat Coogan. You know, Pat Coogan, the center for Indiana, and the year before the center for Notre Dame. And I don't think it's, you know, coincidental that those teams had epic years, both years. And Coogan was the MVP of the Rose Bowl. And it's just
tone setter, Larry. He's a tone setter, locker room guy through and through. And he plays on the line of scrimmage like a badass.
And he's not an athlete. He's not an athlete. He's not big. He's not powerful. But here it is. Here's the graphic I was going to show. Look at this. And this kid is a great kid. This, as Damon just said, culture changer. Kalon Black, D'Angelo Pons, Mikhail Kamara, and this guy, Pat Coogan, are culture-changing type players. Now, the Niners don't need to change their culture, but 483 pass block snaps last season, 0 sacks allowed, 0 quarterback hits allowed, only 10 pressures allowed. If the draft goes all 7 rounds and this guy doesn't get drafted, because the Niners, you can't pick this guy in the 4th round. You can't. But if the draft ends, man, in the 7th round, I'm calling this guy every minute. And I'm just saying, Pat, please, come here. You could be the starter. You're going to win a Super Bowl ring here. Help be the guy who covers Brock Purdy's, you know, A-gap. You know, Pat, come on. I would be all over the call to get Pat Coogan to sign.
I wouldn't mind it at all, obviously. You know, the more Hoosiers, the more I'm in. But he comes up short in all your desirables and your measurables, with the exception of the category of football player. He's an A-plus football player. You know, B-minus measuring everywhere else, I guess. But he is he's someone that absolutely, I think, will have a bidding war as an undrafted free agent. He's going to be able to pick where he wants to go as an undrafted free agent because there's going to be 7-8 teams coming after him.
No doubt. Do you have one more before we jump to our last topic here?
Yeah, so the one more, again, we're going way back up to the top of the draft here to talk about this player. But when if you told me, because I do think linebacker is something that is a need, I think you need a succession plan, not only for Dre Greenlaw, but for, you know, you don't want to get caught with a, you know, aging, total linebacker core, Fred Warner in the middle of it. C.J. Allen, the linebacker from Georgia, I wouldn't be surprised if that's not the player that really caught John Lynch's eye when he was at the Georgia Pro Day. He might have gone down there looking elsewhere, but I think C.J. Allen is a player that, especially if this is like you moved back, like I could see C.J. Allen being an early second-round pick. And if the Niners move back into the early part of the second round, I think C.J. Allen is a very, very good player that they would be more than happy to have.
He's really good. He's really good. Now, there's some stiffness in his workout, and there's no question about that. But I was just watching something the other day, and I'm going to see if I can find it here. But it was a C.J. Allen short, and it was a quote. Yeah, here it is. Here it is. Let's see if I can share the screen on this. Can you hear that?
I can't hear anything. Sorry, I was telling Ozzy to not. Ozzy had a big bowl of Cheerios and he wanted to come in here. I just had to wave him off.
Hold on one second. Sorry, Oz. The world according to the great Oz. Okay, hold on a second. Hold on.
Ignore the man behind the curtain.
Here we go. Here we go. This is a cut from Kirby. And this reminds me when he talks about Patrick Willis. So I'm going to play this and hopefully you can see it. Can you see Kirby there?
I see Kirby.
All right, here it is. Here's the cut. This is about C.J. Allen.
So C.J. Allen is a rising junior and one of the best leaders we've had in our program at linebacker. He is from Barnesville, Georgia, right down the road, and is a tremendous leader. Quick story about CJ. My son needed to get treatment for the last couple months, and he would come in the office every morning around 6:50, 6:55 to get treatment at 7 so he could make it to school by 8. And there wasn't a morning that we got there that CJ Allen was not already in the training room doing some kind of prehab, rehab, running, getting warmed up, taking care of injuries. He's just a relentless worker and a relentless competitor who got to play in some big games as a freshman, probably even before he was ready. And that's paid off for us last year and this year with CJ.
Relentless worker, Damon. This kid's a great athlete. And he's a tremendous worker. And that's what Patrick Willis was. Willis was like the hardest working guy the Niners had. This kid's got some stiffness. Like if you look at his workout, there's some stiffness there. He's not the most fluid linebacker of all time. But when you look at the production, the leadership, the relentless nature of his dedication, you saw the kid's body, right? I mean, the guy's jacked. He's fast. I don't know. I think John was either there to see Kristen Miller, Monroe Freeling, if they're going to trade up, or possibly C.J. Allen. And, you know, there's talk, Damon, that
Oscar Delp, by the way, could be a fourth round tight end on their radar as well.
Yeah, but only, you know, Oscar Delp didn't even have 300 receiving yards in any of his seasons. So he's a little bit of a workout wonder, and I don't know if Lynch knew he was going to work out the way he did. He ran 4.46, though. He looked great at the workout. But yeah, C.J. Allen would be like, if you drafted C.J. Allen, you might be drafting like your future leader, and you're putting him in a room with Fred and Dre. And there's a lot of belief that if you got a great young leader and you can put him behind a great young leader, that you're really going to have something special. And so maybe they're thinking that along those lines. They could be thinking Kristen Miller as well, who's a very powerful inside rusher, who's very talented, Damon. I don't know how much Kristen Miller is not a name that has gotten a lot of attention. That's for sure. He's not a
D lineman out of Georgia. Right? I mean, he's
a D tackle from Georgia who is really, he's just a great.
That's the guy that Mykel Williams keeps talking about.
Well, he's Mykel's good buddy. Yeah, he's a buddy of Mykel's. And so, but I wouldn't draft him just simply on that, but I would definitely consider drafting him. Now, I got to show you one more guy.
And then we got to talk about Myles Garrett. By the way, we got over 1,000 people watching across all of our platforms right now. Thanks for watching Wake Up. We are here Monday and Friday. Now, we might not be here next Monday because I am leaving at like 3 in the morning with the family for SFO. We're going to be in Florida all next week, Larry. So I'm going to have to let you know what my schedule is going to allow next week. We're taking the kids to the Duchess's place in Sarasota, Florida over spring break. Yeah, I will let you know what next week looks like when we get into it. But we're probably not doing Wake Up on Monday morning next week.
We are doing Damon stopping by tonight, though, on KMBR on Niners Nightly. He'll be our guest tonight.
Looking forward to it, man.
So definitely check that out tonight. All right, here is a guy. There's a lot of talk about Kaden Proctor, right? The gigantic offensive lineman for Alabama. There's another Proctor in this draft that is, to me, one of my favorite players. And I'm glad they have a highlight, like an ISO, like a spotlight on this guy, because this guy is awesome. He plays for Southeast Louisiana State, and he's an interior rusher. He's about 285 pounds, but he's got great first step. He tested amazing at the combine. He's got unbelievable strength in his hands. He's got 10, 11-inch hands, and they're really strong, and you can see the way he throws guys away. Watch this. 17 seconds of this is Kaleb Proctor, Southeast Louisiana. Just a big boy at 285 pounds who can get to the quarterback, get skinny through the hole, quarterback on the turf. This is against LSU, by the way. Command, the double team ran right through that.
He's whipping 78's ass.
Yeah. I mean, look at the balance. The guy stays on his feet. Now, it's a short clip. It's only 17 seconds, so we won't play it over and over. But there you go. Kaleb Proctor, an amazing player for Southeast Louisiana State. He would be another guy in that fourth round that I would absolutely consider. All right, let's talk a little bit about what I think is an interesting story. Now,
we're talking Myles Garrett here, right?
Let's talk Myles Garrett for a second.
All right.
Dave Lombardi did a whole video on this. Other people have done videos on this. Lots of people are commenting. What's going on here is, I'll try to paint this picture as quick as I can. Last offseason, Myles Garrett demanded a trade away from the Browns. The Browns said, no, we don't want to trade you. He said, I want out. I want to go play on a winner. He said, no. They said, no, we're going to sign you. He signed a four-year, $160 million contract. He has an AAV of $40 million a year. So he's now signed. And so they appeased him by paying him this. And everybody kind of ripped him like, hey, I thought you wanted out. I thought you wanted to be in a winner. And now you've got your money and you're staying. So he stayed. But then they played their season and they had a great year. He had an epic year, maybe the best year of anybody ever. And they passed over Jim Schwartz, his good buddy, for the head coaching job for Todd Monken. And then Schwartz resigned. Now, the untold story, I think, behind the scenes is I think there's a very good chance that Myles Garrett has told the Browns to go F themselves. That he was publicly politicking for Schwartz to get that job, and Schwartz didn't get the job and then quit. And I just think that there's a possibility that there may be some bad vibes around Myles Garrett, which is making the Browns think about life without Myles Garrett. They signed A.J. Espinosa, the defensive end of the Bills, away from Buffalo. So they actually signed a replacement player if they wanted to put him out there. Right now he's slated to back up Myles Garrett. So Garrett's out there, all right? He had a roster bonus that was due him by the Browns on March 25th for $29.2 million, but the two sides moved it back to August the 30th, 1 week before the start of week one. Immediately, Adam Schefter on camera was talking about this and said, when you see contracts schedules moved, bonus schedules moved around, he's like, 9 out of 10 times, that means there's a trade brewing. Well, that's exactly what the 49ers did with Trent Williams. They moved his bonus money down the road. And a lot, and yet the Niners say they don't want to trade Trent. And according to Schefter, he contacted the Browns, and the Browns said, no, we don't want to move Myles Garrett. We love him. He's going to be here.
Here's the thing. Myles Garrett is the type of player where whether or not you intend to trade him or not, you have to say that. You're going to have your season ticket holders call and say, I'm canceling my season tickets if you trade Myles Garrett. So you never – that is not news you want to be in front of. You come in behind the news on that one. So
you're totally right on that. He's the kind of player with the kind of magnitude for multiple reasons. His impact on the locker room, his impact on other signings, his impact on the fans, his jersey volatile sales, nature, jersey sales, business, planning, everything else. It's all out there. And so – they're not going to say anything. We're not trading him. That's their stance. Okay. But they did move this money around till August 30th. Now, if they pay him that $29.2 million right now, Damon, and they trade him, that $29.2 stays with them. But if they move that thing to August 30th, as they have, and they trade him on draft day, the Niners or whatever team trades for him will pay that $29.2 million or have it renegotiated before August. So that's interesting. Okay.
Beyond that, 2 weeks ago, it was the Cleveland Browns who proposed to the NFL ownership committee that you could go 5 years down the road looking at draft picks. If you're talking about trading Myles Garrett, I mean, the bare minimum is 3 first-rounders, wouldn't you say?
Well, I mean, I would say no. I mean, and I'll tell you why in a second. I think 2 for sure. But I think the return could be muted. And here's why. Because Myles Garrett, I think the cat's out of the bag in the inner circle among the agents, that people probably know that Myles Garrett wants out. You know, my guess is Myles Garrett, by the way, his cost for 2026, and I was watching the Lombardi breakdown on this, he did a nice job, $9.14 million. Is his 26 cap hit. So it's the Niners could trade for him right now and fold him in at $9.14 million. So it is interesting. He does have a full no trade clause. So it's not like he'll be traded against his will. He'll only go where he wants to go.
Right.
So the Niners, while this is going on, they're building their own cap room. They've got $18 million of cap room. If they redo the Trent deal, they're going to have close to $40 million dollars in cap room. The Niners are staring at a bunch of edge rushers at the end of round one, but they all have glitches. Cassius Howell's got short arms. You know, this guy, Zion Young's got some character flags. Caleb Banks has got a foot problem. And so all these guys are kind of problematic at the end of the first round. I just think it's interesting because if you look at the situation, the Browns really badly want a first-round pick in the 27 draft. And the reason they want that is because the 27 draft has 8 quarterbacks that are supposedly going in the first round. Arch Manning, Dante Moore, Trinidad Chambliss, Jaden Maiva, CJ Carr, Brandon Sorsby, Lenora Sellers, Julian Sain. They say are all going in the first round. So the Browns, who only have Shadur, want that second first round pick so they can potentially pivot to a first rounder next year. So they can trade for a quarterback next year. So this, if the Niners could give them this year's number one, next year's number one, next year's number three, which the Niners will be getting back when Mac Jones departs next year. That seems to be, I think, a win-win. Why? Because the Browns move off of a player that I don't think's happy. The Niners could sweeten this package with, first of all, it doesn't have to be a package of picks. It could be Trent Williams. You could move Trent Williams. The Niners have, the Browns, Damon, have done this entire offseason redoing their offensive line, except for left tackle. I don't know that Trent Williams would play there, but if he would, they want Trent Williams, and they want to run the ball with Judkins and Sampson and protect their quarterback with a redone offensive line. So would you go Trent Williams in a first round pick for Myles Garrett? Would you go Trent Williams straight up? They probably would not, because Trent Williams is older.
Yeah.
Then you also have other guys. You have Renardo Green you could throw in the mix. Heck, if you're trading for Myles Garrett, you could throw Mikel Williams in the mix. You have Ricky Pearsall you could throw in the mix. You have
Can I just also suggest that the San Francisco Giants should also trade for Shohei Ohtani, because both these trades are coming from fantasy land, and I don't think
they're not. This is not coming from fantasy land. Let me just finish my point.
Okay.
The 49ers are not doing well in the draft. It's like the Rams. The Rams took Brockers and Tavon Austin and Alec Ogletree and Greg Robinson. Finally, they're like, screw this. We're trading our number ones. The Niners need to hit in the draft. And Cassius Howell, Zion Young, Caleb Banks, R. Mason Thomas, Malachi Lawrence, they're all good, but they all have glitches. I think John Lynch is ready to make this move. And I think also the Niners are very motivated, because they know that Myles Garrett could wind up in Seattle or L.A. or Philadelphia. Chase Sr.'s got a video out right now that the Eagles and Howie Roseman are all over, the idea of trading for Myles Garrett. So it's a little bit of you can't pick a good, guy in the first round. It's a little bit of you've got some real assets that you could put into the deal. It's a little bit also of the Niners can jump the line here on Seattle, the Rams, and the Eagles. Why? Because what the Browns are really after is that 2027 first, and the Niners version of the 27 first in the betting public's mind is probably going to be a higher pick than the Rams, the Seahawks, or the Eagles. So when you throw in draft pick compensation, I think they push to the front of the line. And well, I also kind of think that there's a very good chance the 49ers may use Trent Williams in this trade and then turn around and maybe draft a tackle, because it's pretty clear. I mean, I'll just say this. It is interesting that both the Niners with Trent and the Browns with Myles are moving big money around and pushing it back to almost say, hey, if we trade you, now it's easier to trade you.
I think the Niners are out because I don't think an aging team can afford to give up three first-round picks. And I do think he's a three first-round pick player. Now, if you say Trent Williams is in it, what are you trading for Myles Garrett for and moving off of Trent Williams? You're trading for Myles Garrett is we're trying to win the Super Bowl right now.
Maybe they feel like trading Trent Williams and getting Myles Garrett does more to improve their defensive line, and that they could – they played a game or two without Trent Williams. Maybe they like Austin Pleasance. Maybe they like Ian Acher or Blake Miller or some tackle in the draft. I'm just saying, if there's an issue here with Trent Williams and the 49ers, clearly, and there's an issue here between Myles Garrett and the Browns, clearly. And I think the Browns want to beef up the O-line. I think the Niners want to beef up the D-line. I think there's a deal to be had here. And I think also the Browns love drug trading for
three first rounders. I don't think that's unreasonable at all for the best defensive player in all of football. I mean, they just gave away two first rounders. Baltimore did for, Max Crosby, which of course they came off of. But I think three first rounders is the opening.
That's the opening ask, but I don't think they get three. I think they get two firsts and a third, or a first, a third, and a really good player. But or it would have to be somebody who was drafted in the first round. I mean, you have to get Mikel, Pearsall, somebody. You're going to have to get somebody big in addition to a first and a third. But
again, I got both kids home today, Larry. I got to do something real quick. I'll be right back, okay?
Let me hit some supers here. I'll hit the nine supers while Damon is out. Buster Bradamus, I can appreciate Larry telling me to F off, LOL. Buster, I was just fooling around. Darbs for mayor, LOL. Buster got busted by the great Krug. I didn't realize I was being that harsh, but I guess I was. Joseph Ernberg, will Jordan Hudson, wide receiver Jordan Hudson from SMU, is my sleeper crush. I'll have to check him out, man. I have not watched Jordan Hudson in this draft cycle. Fuji said, glad you were feeling better today, Damon. Oh, good. I guess Damon was a little under the weather. Riz the Fizz, F you, Larry, and Damon. This money is supposed to go to my starving children, but I love y'all more. What? That's not right. Come on, Riz. Now we appreciate the $4.99. I hope those kids aren't starving. But you know what? They needed to skip a few meals. No, I'm just joking. That's what people say to me. Too much sauce. More creative play designer, Kyle Shanahan or Mike McDaniel? You know, I get the sense when I talk to football people that Kyle's like the original and all these other guys are kind of like knockoffs. All of them. McVay, McDaniel, O'Connell. You know, it's like that, like Shanahan is like considered the dean. And maybe it's Reed who's considered the dean, but I would say Shanahan over McDaniel. But McDaniel does have some wrinkles that are really interesting. I also thought it was interesting the differences in how these guys built their teams. Shanahan built a team that had all these guys want to run across the middle of the field that are tough. McDaniel built a weaponry that was all just speed with Waddle and Tyreek Hill. Just going through some of the supers here. We got this one from Riz the Fizz. That is a joke, by the way. Yes.
I didn't know what was part of the joke. Can I just say that?
We got this one. Riz the Fizz had this one.
Could you imagine?
The money is supposed to go to my starving children, but I love y'all more. That's what he said.
Thank you. Myles Garrett and Bosa together with Odighizuwa. I mean, holy shit.
It fits too because you just. I mean, here's the thing about this. The 49ers right now have the third youngest defense in the NFL. And yet Seattle's just won the championship. Rams have the Super Bowl at home, and they're planning on winning it there this year. So you got those teams that are ready to play right now. And you could get Cassius Howell, and Cassius Howell could be a stud. But if he's not a stud for 2 years, then you're kind of screwed. I kind of feel like I was anti the trading for one guy, and I still don't love it, but I do think that there's a possibility that the Browns have been told by Myles Garrett that he ain't coming back. And I think there's a possibility that they may wind up moving him for a package that is not his value. And if you're the 49ers, I think you got to show up. You got to show up because you can't wait. You can't let that guy go to Seattle. If he winds up in Seattle, it's a 5-alarm fire. Would you agree?
Well, and also too, when you think about just how do you slow down Matt Stafford, who's basically a mobile? Could you imagine firing the best pass rushing defensive tackle and two edges the caliber of Bosa and Garrett at him? That gets scary. It also scares the hell out of Seattle. There's very little you can do to directly counter in the upcoming season how good both the Rams and the Seahawks are. This would be one of those moves. Now, you could be giving up an awful lot of your future to do it.
You got to make sure you don't. That's why I'd be very interested in moving Trent Williams. Because Trent Williams is 38, but he has a lot of value. So what if you threw Trent Williams in that deal? How about this? How about Trent Williams, next year's number one, next year's number three for Myles Garrett, and get them to throw in their tackle that they won't use now that they have Trent Williams, Daywon Jones. Throw the Niners Daywon Jones.
I don't think you're getting anything more than Myles Garrett out of the Cleveland Browns in that deal.
Well, where's Daywon Jones going to play? He's not right now. He's not playing anywhere. So if I were the Niners, I'd want that guy coming back. Charles Mullen has become a YouTube member. Welcome aboard, Charles. We have this one from Stefan, 49ers. He says our 2027 first round draft pick is not enticing for the Browns, especially if we have Garrett. Why wouldn't they trade to a mediocre team for a top 20 pick?
Well, Miles is not going to say trade me to a mediocre team. When I think of like actual destinations where if I'm Myles Garrett, where would I want to go? Seattle would be at the top of the list.
Well, I mean, just let's just say, and
Jacksonville
in that within that context is the team that's going to get him. You don't get to pick all the bad teams. The teams that want him are Philly, the Niners, maybe the Rams, maybe the Seahawks, probably one or two other teams. And the question is this: of those teams, if the Niners, the Seahawks, the Rams, and the Eagles all offered as the foundation piece of their package, yes, the 27 first round pick, and you're the Browns, whose deal would you take? I'd take the Niners. If it came right down to it, if he was willing to go to all four of these teams, and you could have the 27 first round pick, Niners, Eagles, Rams, Seahawks, who do you want? Taking the Niners.
Connor Orr for Sports Illustrated wrote about this. He said, this would be an interesting long-term gamble on behalf of the Browns. While the Niners are an excellent top 10 team right now, their aging roster presents the possibility of a few injuries derailing a season and making future 49er draft capital look immensely valuable, like you're just pointing out, Larry. In the Shanahan era, San Francisco has picked 3rd, 9th, 2nd, and 11th, though some of those higher-up picks resulted as a trade-up. The Niners are moving like a team that acknowledges upgrades are necessary to compete in an increasingly competitive NFC West, and Garrett would dramatically raise the efficiency of star pass rusher Nick Bosa in the interim. This would be a salvo fired directly towards the less mobile Stafford and the bootleg-dependent Sam Darnold.
Well, and if you could retain some of the picks by moving players instead, maybe they would take Ricky Pearsall. Maybe they would take Trent Williams. What if you could get him for Trent Williams, Ricky Pearsall, and a first-round pick? Would you do it? I would.
Well, I would do it, but I would also burn down the stadium if I were a Browns fan.
Well, and
remember, you know, the Browns are moving into a new stadium in a couple of years.
The Browns also could flip Trent Williams to Kansas City. You know, if Trent said, hey, you know what? I don't want to play in Cleveland. The Niners, you know, the Browns could work out a side deal and send him to Kansas City, which is, sounds like where he wants to be. Fuji says it appears Super Bowl 63 will be in Vegas. Should Super Bowl just be a fixed rotation of LA, Vegas, New Orleans, and then a rotation of Florida, Nashville, or Atlanta? I mean,
no one would complain.
I said that I think Vegas is the best place for the Super Bowl. Now, people pushed back on me and said New Orleans. I obviously love New Orleans. I just went there this year. I've never been at a Super Bowl in L.A. or in these other spots, Atlanta, Nashville, Florida. I don't know about those spots. But I will say this. I would be totally fine with some combination of a rotation of, like, Vegas, New Orleans, and
then you reward,
where do you want? Miami, San Diego, something like that.
You reward your owners who built new stadiums. You know, that's right. What you'd be doing. You'd get the, oh, you got a new stadium? Well, you get a Super Bowl, I guess, if you spend all that money on a new stadium. Probably everyone but Buffalo. They're never going to
Minnesota. No cold weather places. That's not true. I mean, so what? You can have a bunch of people walking around some indoor mall. No Minnesota.
Yeah, that's, you know, they got great weather when it was in Indianapolis, but it shouldn't go back to Indianapolis. And I'm going to be honest with you, it shouldn't come back to Santa Clara either. No one liked that. Nobody.
We did have beautiful weather here for that week.
We did. We had great weather, but
the logistics are wrong.
Yeah, it's just all over. It's too spread out. So the Super Bowl fits in Vegas because, number one, it's Vegas. Number two, it's the ultimate guys trip. Number three, there is a plumbers convention that is three times the size of the Super Bowl happening in the same week. And Vegas just absorbs it all like nothing is going on.
There's a million rooms. There's a million things to do.
New Orleans is just awesome.
The only thing about Vegas was cold. Vegas is freaking cold in February. That's the only thing.
Yeah, it should just go back between New Orleans and
cold, chilly. It's 38 degrees. You know what I mean? It's cold and
less cool time.
There's no pool options. I love New Orleans, but New Orleans every year. I don't know if I go every year.
Every other year. If you wanted to do it, Vegas, New Orleans, and then plop it somewhere else where a new stadium is opened up or something like that, I would get it.
Vegas was so cool. I mean, think about that. I mean, even though it was cold, I mean, every day for 5 days we're, you know, going to different bars, restaurants, and killer spots. I mean, it was unbelievable. Vegas was a great host city. Oh wait, we got this one. Fuji, would having the first two rounds of the NFL draft on day one work? Would the NFL consider that concept so second round picks and family can be in the green room as well? They could change it any number of ways, but you know, I don't know if that's coming. I would say they want to isolate that first round, put it in prime
time. Yeah, they want the first round to be a star on its own. They want all the first rounders to feel more elite than the second rounders, and that's a great way to do it.
It's amazing what it's become, though. It's really amazing.
32nd pick, though, I'm ready to keep going. Like, I would love to do it 2-2 and then 3 instead of going 1-2-4.
Well, how about this? It is very popular. It is enormously popular. Why not go back to 12 rounds? You have 7 rounds. There's going to be a bunch of guys drafted. Are you telling me that if you added 5 rounds to the NFL draft, millions of people, NFL fans around the country, would not watch that? They absolutely would.
Well, it would be like expanding the NCAA tournament. Now we're just bringing in projects late. I mean, there's the draft geeks and nerds would totally go for it, which you are, Larry. But yeah. I mean, I don't know how much of that is televisable at that point when you're in the 9th round. Now we're dealing with nothing TV, but players, man, from Georgia State.
It's reality television. I don't think it gets any less juicy. You know, it's players that may never play.
Yeah, you're not normal. You're not normal. Yeah,
there's no limit to like the bandwidth. It's not like the NFL Network's going to put something on after the draft that's going to get better ratings. It's not like the thing never went 12 rounds. It used to go 12 rounds.
How about
a little compromise? It used to go 12. It currently goes 7. How about 10? How about a 10 round draft? Then you don't have this battle royale for all these undrafted players. Then it's more of and if you know who to draft in the late rounds, it's going to reward the smarter teams.
Here's the deal, Larry. If they are going to 18 games, which you know they're going to be going to 18 games in like the next 2 years, right? That's going to happen. They haven't even picked the Super Bowl. It's normally, you know, where destinations for Super Bowls are. They haven't even really worked on that yet because they don't know. They haven't set the date for it. They haven't set the date for a Super Bowl a few years down the road when they would normally have that by now. It's time, if you're going to 18 games, to grow game day rosters from 48 to 55 and grow active rosters from 53 to 60. And if you do that, yeah, give me 2 more rounds of the NFL draft. I don't need 10. But we should go to 9.
I think this is all tied to the future of the NFL and a spring league that showcases the back half of enlarged rosters. And I think it would be a hit. I think it would be a massive hit. Fuji Simeon, would having the first 2 rounds of the NFL draft? Okay, we got that one.
We did that.
Thanks, Fuji. We have this one from Stefan. No more Giants streams, please. Do you not like money?
Hey, here's the thing. Not everything is built to be a ratings grab. Sometimes you just here. You know what Larry and I are guilty of?
We're sports fans.
We like baseball. I still like baseball.
Sports fans. I mean, I would talk. I mean, the Warriors are a tire fire too right now.
Right. Lots to talk about.
If we were just doing this only for the money, you're right. I would never do anything but football, the Niners, football, NFL. And we would never talk about anything else. But I'm a Giants fan. I'm a Warrior fan. I'm a Bay Area sports fan. And I'm going to do a little bit of that throughout the year. Now, what does that mean? I probably won't do a Warrior show until draft night. And as far as the Giants go, I'll probably do a handful of post-game shows throughout the year. Because I know there are some people. I started my channel by doing all Giants post-games. And so there are some of my original followers and subscribers are big baseball people. So
well, it gives you a chance to talk to Coletti, who we both love.
Exactly. That, and I love talking to Ned, and I love You know, trying to help Danny grow his channel a little bit. He's been a, you know, been doing it for a while, putting in a lot of good hours. So, and I love Giants baseball. I also think baseball is a great sport to talk about. I really do. And I think that if the Giants were not such a fucking colossal bore, it would actually
get there's three singles on Netflix.
Yeah, no, I did not. I did not. I said three singles is, are, you know, are never good unless you're, you know, opening the front door of centerfolds. Then three singles are appropriate. Otherwise, no. So, yes. Sorry about the Giants streams. Fuji, I feel bad for elderly folks trying to watch a baseball game and instead of local broadcast channel, find out they need streaming services, i.e. a QR code. Yeah, that used to bug my late father. I'd get this urgent call. Larr! I'm like, Dad, what's up? What's going on? He's like, I can't find the game. Where's the game? You know, I'm like, Dad, it's on Peacock, Dad. And then all of a sudden we're into codes and what's where's Mom? Where's Mom and what's a peacock? And yeah, I mean, it's just, how do I get, I don't want to have my peacock all, is it going to screw up my set? You know, my dad with a million weird questions. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Damon, I'll give you the final word before we bolt for the door.
I'm looking forward to joining you a little bit later on tonight on Niners Nightly, Larry. We'll probably kind of go over this Myles Garrett ground once again, because it is interesting. It really is. I just don't think that the 49ers are going to do it. I mean, I just, that's such a big move, man. That's a big, big, big move if they do that.
I do, you know, it seems unlikely, but I got to say that the more I think about it, the more I think about where the Niners are and what they've done in the draft, where the Browns are and what the Browns are building. The Browns are clearly building a dominant offensive line. The Niners are clearly building they want to build a dominant defensive line, but not with babies and rookies that take 3 years to get ready. They need to be ready to roll, like, you know, right away. And Garrett's going to play phenomenal football for the next, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. And I could see them. I think the Browns definitely have already kind of drafted a replacement. I think he, you know, this would copy.
He's 30, Larry. His birthday is in December, late December. He's like just after Christmas baby. So he's going to be 31 at the end of next football season.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just think that I also think that the 49ers, all things being equal, probably would rather not do this idea of Myles Garrett, but they cannot stomach the idea of Garrett in Seattle, LA, or Philly. And so I think they're forcing themselves to be part of this deal flow. I'm going to talk to Chase Sr. here coming up in a few minutes.
Sort of look at the Giants and be like, hey, you know what? As long as Otani's not a Dodger, you'll be fine with it.
Seriously. The Dodgers' top four hitters, Otani, Betts, Freeman, Tucker, Will Smith. That's their top five hitters.
Insane.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. I'm going to stream with Chase Sr. at 10:45, which is 7 minutes from now. Damon, are you going live at 11 today?
I am not, because we are putting the entire family on an airplane at like 3. We're leaving here at 3 in the morning. Our flight is at 5 a.m. getting out of here. So today is putting San Francisco and the house to bed and packing up. And we've got the two maniacs home. And Jillian's got a little work today. So I'm basically Mr. Momming it for the rest of the day today as we get ready to go visit the Duchess in Florida. So
it's actually good. It's actually good to fly early. I think it's smart to fly early, especially if you've got little kids.
The TSA problems right now, getting out early, I think, will be on our side for sure. But thanks to everyone. Thanks to everyone who was in here watching today. Like, subscribe, and again, notify. That notify bell button is maybe the most important thing you can do for both of our channels. Making sure that you know whenever we're posting videos or going live helps us an awful lot. So thank you to everyone, and we'll be doing some spots from Florida next week, but I'm going to enjoy a little vacation with the boys on the beach. And Larry, you take care, and I'm looking forward to joining you on Niners Nightly a little bit later on tonight. So bonsoir, everybody, and thank you so much.
Hit like and subscribe for both sponsors, and as Damon said, hit that notification bell so you don't have to miss a minute of the action. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Thanks to all of you. Have a great rest of your Friday. Peace.